The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary. And it's your turn. Phones are open at 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. We'd like to hear from you. We're here to serve you. And Pastor David Andrews is our guest today, representing Lutheran Blind Mission. Pastor, good morning and welcome back to KFUO Radio.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
We might mention that KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And Pastor, how are you getting through summer? You doing all right?
Oh, yeah. There's a song I learned in the early 70s, middle 70s. Thank God for the weather. It's a happy day, and I thank God for the weather. It's a happy day, and I'm living it for my Lord. It's a happy day, and things are going to get better, living it for my Lord. And I keep telling myself that in these hot days because it is hot. Although I was talking with my sister last night up in Minnesota, up there, sure, yeah, and they're in the 90s up there, and they say, oh, we feel miserable. And I think it's whatever your body gets used to when it spikes up like this. It's hot, so it doesn't matter where you are, just what you're used to.
Is this the season for you to do a little travel and fundraising? Did you make it to the Lutheran Women's Missionary League convention?
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. We were there at the convention. We actually were there the day before with their servant events. They helped assemble and put together some of our large print scripture calendars. It has a picture, a Bible verse for each month, and they helped with that. And then we were there to answer any questions as well as to give information about Lutheran Blind Mission.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm visiting your website and looking at all the opportunities there to volunteer. Looks like you really depend on a cadre of volunteers to help run Lutheran Blind Mission.
Absolutely. In fact, many people are shocked when they look at the actual breakdown of our organization. We have 3 full-time workers, 2 part-time workers, and about 1,200 volunteers. And that's just unbelievable to hear how few staff versus how many volunteers, but that's who we are.
You've got Lutheran Braille workers assisting you.
Yep. They make Bibles and ship them all over the world. Some of them stay here in the U.S., but they mostly do the Bible, and we are very grateful for them. That way we can focus in on other hands-on material as well as the training and of both blind and sighted people to do outreach ministry.
And I see that you have volunteer opportunities for people to actually read devotionals and such, record them for blind people to hear.
Indeed, and if people... What we're going to slowly move into now is the digital world. We're still recording things on cassette tape, but we're in the slow process of saying we need to look at this next level, because a lot of our recipients of our materials are saying they have the new player. When you lose your sight, you are eligible to receive a player from the state, which actually comes from the Library of Congress, federal government. And it used to be cassette players, but they have now switched over to the digital cartridge, and we're going to be trying to do that here in the next year. And so we're going to probably start looking for digital recording. So if anyone out there who's listening says, hey, I can record on my computer, give me a call, drop me an email.
Hey, let's get political here. If the budget cuts take effect, will any of the programs that benefit blind people be impacted?
Not at all. We don't receive a penny from the federal government. We also don't receive a penny from the LCMS Lutheran Church. We're an independent RSO, fully supported by donors, individuals, congregations, as well as a lot of LWML and other similar organizations.
And perhaps CPH gives you a little help along the way. Do they provide you with Braille versions of Portals of Prayer, or do you have to decipher them?
Well, they do help us tremendously. They provide the electronic formats of many things, including Portals of Prayer, Today's Light, and there's a couple more things they do. that we then massage and create and format and turn into Braille. And if it wasn't for them, boy, I don't know where we would be.
Pastor Andrews, were you born with blindness, or is that something that happened during your life?
I started losing my sight when I was 8, and I still remember saying to Mom, I don't remember saying to Mom, but I obviously did, I can't see well. I vividly remember sitting in the eye doctor's office as an 8-year-old, and the doctor coming in and out, looking at my eye, and then going and checking a book, and after a whole hour, he said, I think I know what it is, but we need to send you to a specialist. And the specialist confirmed I had Coats disease. It's a disease that makes the vessels behind the retina leak fluid, and that detaches the retinas. So I had a complication of detached retinas caused by other issues in the eye. And over the next couple years, they were able to repair the damage, but when I was age 11, finally there was nothing left to repair, and I was left totally blind.
Hmm. In your experience, do people get along better with their blindness had they never seen in their life?
It's an interesting thing. Yes and no, depending on what aspect of life you want to consider. If you lose your sight before age 12, you adapt to the world of blindness. Your brain literally will remap itself, and there's been studies that have shown this, that then lets you adapt and change to a world of where you use your other senses, touch and sound, where most people use sight to gain information. Because sight's really not in your eyes, it's in your mind. And your mind can still make those pictures, but it uses the other senses. So in that sense, your education can be done through the specialized formats, and in that sense, you get a better foothold. But many times, because of all that tremendous focus as a child, you lose out on some of the socialization and interactions of kids, and socializations of eye contact, and just some of those nuances that come through society through visuals.
Mm.
If you lose sight later, you have those societal mores down, but you don't have as many skills. And sometimes you'll feel sorry for yourself, and that puts a heavy burden until you learn to adjust on the family, which can many times burn bridges. And so it's hazards on both sides.
Mm-hmm. And do you find it interesting to read about people who have been very successful in their lives who were blind? Like, Ray Charles comes to mind, Stevie Wonder and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I love to learn about, read about, often stories that are books that are written by people who are blind or about blind. I'll pick them up and read them to be aware of more people. One of the difficulties that people who are blind have is they slump into isolation. They need an image. They need a hero. They need an icon as well. And so if one can be aware of the many out there, as I meet people with whatever background they have, I can say, well, didn't you read about or have you ever heard about? And then I can encourage them to learn more about that person or read the book or whatever. So it can be very, very helpful. And there's more and more out there than there ever were before.
Interesting that you said seeing is really in the mind, because just the other day we talked with Dr. David Menton, formerly of Washington University, and he said actually people don't realize it, but the eye is part of the brain.
That's a good way to say it. It's an extension of the brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if you lose that, there are many other extensions of the brain that still want to connect you to your world.
You mentioned that sometimes blind people become withdrawn and perhaps lonely, and depression sets in. Is that a growing concern?
It is. It is. And there's no doubt about it. And I had it, too, and everyone who loses sight. The first couple months and year, fear is one of them. Am I going to get hurt? And one needs to learn how to live and move and walk in their world so that not to become fearless, but that they can control and manage that fear. And then also to be comfortable with accepting themselves. Okay, this is who I am. And not to see themselves as broken, but to see themselves as a whole person. When one is comfortable with themselves, that's when they start coming out of the shell. And it takes a couple years to make those adjustments. So it is And many people, because they don't have the support network, never come out of the shell, and they just totally slip away.
So that's one of the issues that blind people face.
That is correct.
And perhaps another reason why they need the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Because one of the things we point out is, first, Jesus was broken, and he understands broken people, and he accepts broken people just as they are. So often people who are blind, they are asked, well, have you seen a doctor? Have you tried this? Have you tried that? Everyone's trying to fix them. And Jesus doesn't try to fix us. Instead, he forgives us and accepts us. And then he says, and I can use you just the way you are. He's the first step in helping us feel comfortable and accepting who we are, because he accepts us just as we are.
So can blindness be a blessing? Does it build faith in some situations? Have you seen that?
It can be a blessing. Yes, absolutely. Does it build faith? Well, first off, the only thing that builds faith is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working through it. But even setting that aside, I think I know where you were going.
The dependency,
Paul.
Yeah.
In and of itself, no. If you had no faith, it really crushes you. But if you had faith, it can take you to another step and a deeper step of faith. I remember when I was a parish pastor, some of the people whom I visited, I'm reminded of Esther and Henrietta. Henrietta was, when she turned 16, she said, I need to know God. And she went up to the church and knocked on the door and said, I need to know God. And the pastor took her through confirmation. She immediately started teaching Sunday school, and she was a very active person all her life. And how that all started, I don't know, other than say the Holy Spirit touched her life. When she became 80, after going to church and teaching Sunday school all her life, she no longer could go, so she was a shut-in. Esther, though, she only came to church a couple times a year. And so when she became a shut-in, I went to visit her, too. When I'd walk into Esther's house, she'd say, Pastor, I have a question. And I'd answer it, and she said, but I don't understand. I have a question. Now, I went to Henrietta's house. She'd say, Pastor, I have a question. And then, but I think it's this, blah, 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 blah. And I'd say, yes, ma'am. She had the answers because her faith was so rooted and grounded in the Word of God that when then circumstances changed, she had answers. And so she was, by the difficulties of her life, taken into deeper walks with Jesus. And that can happen when people lose their sight then also, that God can walk with them. He wants to walk with us always, but sometimes we're afraid to take that walk. If we will, the journeys and the places that we can go with our Jesus in our faith walk is amazing.
You can't look into someone's eyes you're talking to and see their mind. Can you hear it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, those who are blind sometimes have a better sense of what's going on in that other person's mind. When I go out and train sighted volunteers to help start an outreach center, one of the things I tell them is, if you're uncomfortable, if you're uneasy around a blind person, you might as well just tell it, because they're going to know it instantly. And so you might as well just be honest, because they're going to know it, and you might as well say it, because then you know it, and then you can laugh about it and say, so help me. And you're both on better footing immediately. I guess it's because we're not caught up on what you're wearing, whether it's a Hawaiian shirt or a tank top, or whether you need an extra... you didn't clean your face well, or you didn't shave very well, or your hair is long, or it's straggly, or this is in the way. We're not bothered by those things, so we're able to pay more attention to people's words, intonations, the nonverbals, and there's a huge amount of nonverbals that people communicate that they are not even aware of. It's not just a visual thing. There are also auditory as well.
And perhaps you can be more objective, too, because you're not making judgments based on what you see.
I'd like to think so, although I know that's not always the case. Mm. I have my prejudices, too.
Your family, anyone else in the family blind?
No. Nope. I'm the only one, very rare. A cousin called me up a couple years ago and said, there was an anomaly found in my eye. Tell me more about yours. And it seems like he had some of the traits that mine did. My disease is a genetic weak eye along with a virus. And it sounds like he has some of the genetics that created that weak eye that made it susceptible to the virus, but not totally. So if he got the virus, odds are he wouldn't go blind where I did.
505-780-1800-730-2727. Our pastor is David Andrews from Lutheran Blind Mission, and our phones are open to you. You can also email the studio, KFUO, at KFUO.org. So in your role, do you have relationships with other blind people and help them? Are you sort of like the pastor to the blind?
I am. When I first started this position in 1998, I was a parish pastor. I loved it. And I did not like the first year or two of my job because I was just getting used to it. I didn't know that many people. But since then, from 2000 on, especially with our work with the outreach centers, a lot of my work now is being a pastor to many of those who are blind and visually impaired. It creates certain circumstances, whether it, even in church, in relationships. I was talking with Lisa, who's on staff, who is also blind. We're starting to develop some work, and most of our work now is done on CD with our outreach centers, of dating. There's unique situations when you're blind. What are some of the nuances of dating and getting to know people? And that does impact our spiritual walk as well. And so a lot of the times I'm just working as a pastor, any other pastor would, but I'm doing it with people all over the country.
And the same kinds of issues that sighted people have, perhaps.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are there blind couples cohabiting? That's a big issue now.
Oh.
People don't get married anymore.
Oh, that's a huge one, and it's because our federal government, it deters them. If two people are blind and they're living on SSI, Supplement Security Income, it's $604 a month. If you get married, you'd think, well, we each get it, so it's $1,200. No. There is the marriage clause, which says now because you are married, you don't need as much, and it drops to $900. And think about it, living on $600 a month, and then to have that cut. I've written many letters to the White House trying to see if we can get this changed, and I've gotten nowhere, both the White House as well as senators and congressmen here in Missouri, and no one wants to take it up, and I don't understand why. But it's really a marriage penalty. And it's really a big, big problem for those who are blind.
So these couples, even though they're Christian, they just can't afford to get married.
Literally. That is correct. Yep.
And how do you get around to visit people?
Most of my visit, well, especially with those who are blind and vision impaired, comes through many times emails, but then long conversations on the telephone. There are times where I start a conversation and I know this one's going to be an hour.
Is that why you have the headset?
That is why I have the headset. That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah.
And then I do a lot of travel. This weekend I'm going out to Lawrence, Kansas to visit our outreach center for the blind. I'll be probably taking a taxi cab up to the airport. And then immediately the cab driver will just say, drop me in the line. And the people at the airport are wonderful. They understand when the white cane's there that you need assistance, and so they call for assistance to help me all the way down to the gate. The people on the airplane are wonderful. I've made arrangements already that someone will pick me up at the airport at the other end.
Does every parish have someone who is sight impaired? At least one person? Or?
They should. They don't always know it, though.
Oh.
Sometimes people don't want to be known as having a major visual problem, and so they'll hide it. Sometimes, I remember one pastor called me up and when he came to a new parish, there was a delinquent, and he kept calling her. She hadn't been in church for 10 years, and he kept calling and she just kind of ducked the issue, and finally he went to the door and knocked, and this is after two or three visits on the phone, and when she opened the door, and he said, I'm your pastor, and I'd like to come in and chat, well, at the door, And then because he knew me, he knew what to look for, and he realized, and he said, "Man, do you have some visual problems? I just noticed one or two things you're doing." She said, "Yes, I am." Hmm. And that opened up the whole conversation, and that was the reason she was a delinquent, is she felt guilty about going back to church. There was nothing there for her, nothing in print, and how do you get there, and on, and he said, "Well, I can help you on that." And so he was able to. So many times people just slip away into isolation because of guilt and fear, once again. And so, yes, parishes everywhere do have them if you pay attention and are aware of it.
And does Lutheran Blind Mission help with some resources for churches? Can they come to you?
Yes. And that, again, is another reason I have a headset. There are many times I'm sitting with the volunteers or the pastor talking and just laying out some of the issues that people who are blind might face, ways to help them, ways to give encouragement, suggestions that they might try to do. We do have printed material we can send to people at congregations, but many times it's just a question and answer thing in order to help them first feel comfortable, second be aware of some of the social difficulties they have, and then third, giving them some ideas of what they might do.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Steve, you're on KFUO Radio with Pastor David Andrews.
Hello, I'd like to know how individuals and congregations can support his ministry.
Thank you very much for the question. First, you can look at our website. There are ways to volunteer, also ways to donate financially. But if on the website is not feasible, we have, we take regular mail, we do large print, we do Braille, but you also can phone call. We are always looking for volunteers to assist. Sometimes it's an ebb and flow that we have to say, well, we'll put you on the list, we don't have anything immediately, but we always get back to you. Financially, gifts can be made out to our name, Lutheran Blind Mission, and then sent directly to our office, and that address is 7550 Watson Road, W-A-T-S-O-N, Road, St. Louis, 63119.
You can even donate that car you're driving.
Yeah, it's true. We do take donations of cars, and someone said, "What do you do, turn around and give them to people who are blind so that they can drive?" And we said, no. They're actually, through a company we work with, they're sold. And we receive most of the money from that sale, and then that goes to help the mission.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You keep up with the news and the issues?
I try to.
Well, we might get to some of those in the second half of the program.
Sure.
It all depends on listeners' questions. It's your turn out there, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, do you conduct worship services, and where?
On a regular basis, no, I do not.
Mm-hmm.
When I travel, in fact, I was just talking with the pastor this morning where I'm going to be in Lawrence, Kansas, and we talked a little about that. And we chose that due to circumstances, I'm not going to be leading worship there, but many times at the outreach centers when I visit, I do.
Mm-hmm. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back with Pastor David Andrews on Ask the Pastor on the Bible Study, underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.
One of the core values of Concordia Seminary is faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Bible and the confessions of our church. Many people in America no longer believe that there is absolute truth. They say, "You have your opinion, I have mine. All roads lead to heaven." But God has revealed truth. And we teach so that Concordia Seminary graduates will find winsome ways to present the truth.
Hi, this is Gary Duncan with a KFUO Facebook update. Since May, we've added 200 new fans to Facebook. Thanks for that. And do you hear that music? That's Lutheran singer-songwriter Larry Carter with Beside Still Water. Recently, he was on with Paul Clayton in the morning, and we videotaped Larry singing that song exclusively for our Facebook friends. All you have to do to see the video is go to facebook.com, facebook.com/KFUO Radio and click the like button. Thank you for following us on Facebook.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The group called JCs works to provide young people with the tools necessary to be a success in the business world. They've done tons of good work in 80 plus years. So it comes as a surprise when the JCs kicked a pro-life group out of the local 4th of July parade in Palatine, Illinois. Their crime was carrying a banner with an offensive photo, which the pro-life group says is an ultrasound image of an unborn baby. These positive images permeate our society, and I've heard no one describe them as offensive. In spite of targeting pro-lifers, the JCs allowed the gay and lesbian group to march. Go figure. Please contact the JCs and politely tell them what you think. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org for details.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Church Disciplined. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. The president of Sovereign Grace Ministries, C.J. Mahaney, is taking a leave of absence to deal with charges made against him by former ministry leaders and pastors. In a letter on the denomination's website, Mahaney says the charges do not involve immorality or financial impropriety, but he says former colleagues have faulted him for pride, deceit, sinful judgment, and hypocrisy. Joshua Harris, pastor of Sovereign Grace's founding church in Maryland, told his congregation Sunday,
CJ has confessed to some of these sins. He disagrees with others.
Harris said he and other Sovereign Grace leaders share responsibility.
We cannot get around the fact that our church and our entire denomination is being publicly spanked.
He said an outside panel will be asked to review Sovereign Grace's past and present practices. I'm Steve Coleman.
I see a great need in my community.
So Richard Washington set out to meet that need by working with youth in the juvenile justice system, joining thousands of other volunteers. If you're 55 and older, you can use the skills that help you through a lifetime of learning, giving, teaching, and working. Go to getinvolved.gov or call 1-800-424-8867 to find out how you can volunteer, impact your community, and make our country stronger.
Retired people have a lot to offer because we have life experience.
What are you going to do with your lifetime of experience? Go to getinvolved.gov today or call 1-800-424-8867. We have so much to offer, and our nation needs us. Make a difference for generations.
It's your Ask the Pastor segment of the Bible study on KFUO Radio. Pastor David Andrews is our guest. Pastor is with Lutheran Blind Mission, and our phones are open at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So you work one-on-one with members of your parish without doors or walls, perhaps.
Right.
And what kinds of issues do they bring to you, Pastor?
It seems a lot of them are interpersonal relationships where they feel that they are not understood, and it usually impacts that not just hurt feelings, but then sometimes even retaliation and frustrations are taken out. That first I have to talk about the human relationship and unfold what happened and why, but then work and help them to build better relationships, which starts with going out of their way to say, I forgive you, and or to seek forgiveness from persons as well as from the Lord. That's probably the biggest one. There are marital issues, though, that enter in, sometimes financial. There are sometimes congregational ones, just like any parish pastor would have as well.
Mm-hmm. And what about working with youth? Is there an opportunity for that for you?
Not a lot. And because there are very few youth who are blind and visually impaired, of the 12 million in the United States, only 1% are under 18.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Medicine has done a good job at slowing down blindness. It has not stopped it. It has not reversed it, but only slowed it down. And so instead of, as years ago it was age 3, 4, and 5, now it's 13, 24, 35 when people are losing their sight.
We hear we have an obesity epidemic in this country, and that can often lead to diabetes. Are some of the blind people you work with diabetic, and is that how they went blind?
Yes and yes. Although usually that type of diabetes that is the cause of blindness rarely is because of obesity. It's just they are true diabetics to begin with.
Hmm.
Although there type are probably one. Some who are, because of their obesity, it is amplified a weakness in their human body as well. I can't say that's not true. But I've read in the past that a lot of people lost their sight due to the diabetes as well.
And do you counsel some people who are angry because of their blindness?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Anger, and they don't know where to vent or direct this anger. And there's uncertainty in their relationship with God, that they wonder, is God punishing me? Do I not have enough faith? Is that why this happened? And those are probably the two deep-seated issues that arise spiritually more than others because of blindness.
Have you ever encountered some people who tried to be cured of their blindness by seeking a faith healer?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, in fact, I'll be honest with you, I did when I was a kid.
Did you really?
Uh-huh.
No. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm trying to decide how much I should say. Well, I went to this big gathering, encouraged by some other people, but I wanted to be able to see again. And this was in the 70s when the charismatic movement was just underway, and so there's a lot of excitement, and there are miracles quoted and so forth. And I thought, well, why can't I have a miracle? And I went. And when they did the call for healings on the stage, I went up and they put their hands on my head, and I don't remember what they said. And I walked away, and I was no different. I was still blind. And it made me really wonder. And then some of the people there who were sitting nearby talked about faith and having enough faith, and maybe I didn't have enough faith. And at that point, I was getting angry, even while there. But even later, I got even more angry, because it's not a matter of faith. If faith could do it, I would have seen. But you can't blame me, which meant all of a sudden maybe God didn't want to. No, I didn't like to go there, so I stopped going to those thoughts. And a lot of swirling thoughts went through my mind. Mostly, though, was that these were frauds, and that they were pushing this upon people unfairly. For that reason, I left the charismatic movement, and glad I did, because there were other things, as I look back, that were other issues with it. But mostly, I find the biggest fault is that they are implying that if you just have faith, this should happen. And it falls into that that whole theology of
glory?
Well, it is glory. There's another word, though, that I hear some people use. Self-improvement.
Prosperity.
Yeah, prosperity. That's the word I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. Prosperity theology, that you will prosper if you just do the right thing. And that's not the case. It's just not the case. Instead, the theology of the cross says that Jesus journeys in the valleys with us because he was there, and he does not leave us or abandon us. In fact, that's the key to Psalm 23. It's right in the center of that psalm. I'm with you. Your rod, thy staff, they comfort me. And that's the theology of the cross, that Jesus understands. He walks with us and will make good even of what seems not so good to begin with.
So how many other people like you were not healed of whatever malady they took to be healed from, and then went home believing that they didn't deserve to be healed?
Oh, I'm
they
sure.
They weren't worthy.
I know of many then, and there still are. There still are. We had a conference several years ago, And at the conference, we talked about this. This is a conference of people who are blind, training blind leaders to go back to their outreach centers to have a better understanding. We talked vividly about this and that how blindness can be a blessing, how God can use us even as we are. And in fact, in many ways, he's chosen us to be blind so that we can reach others. Think about that. With that empowerment, Roosevelt was on the train going back to Minneapolis, and a gentleman walked up and said, "Let me pray for you that you can be healed." And he pushed it upon him, and Roosevelt just laughed at him and said, "I'm perfectly fine the way I am. Jesus has already healed my soul. I am a whole person. What are you trying to do?" So and then the guy walked away saying, "You just don't have enough faith." And Roosevelt, fortunately, because we had worked through that at the conference, laughed and said, "Your faith is the one that's weak, not mine."
Ah, yes, indeed. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So there's a lot of folks out there hurting who are blind.
Yeah.
They've been bruised through the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I've found as I visit and I travel and I do a lot of speaking at churches, both to highlight Lutheran Blind Mission as well as to give God's comfort from his word, I don't know how many times I'm at the door greeting people and they say, "Thank you for your message. It helped me. Now, I'm not blind," but and they go on with the story of how they're hurting, how physically they feel broken. Sometimes it's marriage is broken. And to hear the comfort that God accepts broken people and we don't have to become something in order for him to accept us. And it's almost implied we have to take many steps before we can get to the cross. Nuh-uh. Jesus comes down because he accomplished everything on the cross. He comes down in the valleys right where we are, accepts us where we are. There are a lot of hurting people out there.
And then
if you look at the statistics, close to 30% of our whole society right now has a major disability, and 95% of them aren't in church either.
There are the spiritual blind, spiritually blind,
right.
Blind to the law and blind to the gospel, perhaps. And maybe that's the worst kind of blindness.
Oh, it is. It is. And that was the whole thing that Jesus was trying to say in John 9 at the end when the Pharisees said, "What, are you saying we're blind?" And Jesus almost joked with them, "Yeah, you're blind because you don't see your sin. This guy who was blind, who he sees because he saw me as his Savior."
Is that one of your favorite Bible stories, Jesus healing the blind man?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, don't get me wrong. And I turn to it a lot. My favorite one is actually in Mark 10, where Jesus meets Bartimaeus on the roadside. And I love it because it depicts so much of the life of a person who's blind. He hears it's Jesus, and he cries out loudly and louder, "Son of David, have mercy." I love it for a couple reasons. One, he didn't ask for justice. He didn't ask for equality. He didn't ask for rights. He didn't ask for sight. He just said, "Have mercy." Because of that, he knew already before he met Jesus that Jesus was the Savior, the Anointed One, the Savior of the world. The crowd, though, kept saying, "Shh, be quiet. You're bothering us. We're here to worship the Savior, and you're bothering us." But he kept going louder and louder. And that's typically what happens. People who are blind, they have to speak up in order to get heard. And at first they're going, "Shh, be quiet, and you're bothering us." And only when the wheel gets real squeaky do people pay attention to them. But then even when he came to Jesus, and by the way, it's a funny thing, the crowd then says when Jesus said, "Call him," the crowd says, "Oh, cheer up." The crowd's so finicky. First they say, "Shh, be quiet." Then they say, "Cheer up." Now, which one is it? And a lot of times, people who are blind struggle with the sighted world because which one are you going to be, the shut up or the cheer up one? But then when he gets to Jesus, and Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" What? Jesus didn't know? I thought he was the Son of God.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. One of the issues in the news, and it seems like it's there every day, homosexuality. New York has become the largest state to approve so-called same-sex marriage. Supporters obviously were delighted at the news. Parades, street parties, and countless other demonstrations of their feelings of moral superiority.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most outlandish such demonstrations was found at Slate.com. There a headline spoke of the dead hand keeping other states from approving same-sex marriage. Is that an issue with blind people?
Yes, and it is because they have so many broken relationships with the opposite sex. And usually when somebody wanders into the homosexual world, they find immediate acceptance just for who you are. Mm. And that's what they're, one of the key issues, once you move past the fear issue, is acceptance. And they want to be accepted for who they are. And the homosexual world, by and large, they don't pass guilt. They don't, because they don't deal with guilt. They don't want guilt. And so they throw all that away, and they'll say, I'll accept you just the way you are. It's kind of sad that a lot of people have to go there to find acceptance for whom they, the personhood they are. But that's why a lot wander into there. So, yes, there is a little bit higher rate percentage-wise among those who are blind and visually impaired.
And perhaps also because of the loneliness there.
Huh? Exactly. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
James, you're on KFUO Radio with Pastor David Andrews. Good morning to you. Hi,
Hello.
James.
Hi. How are you, Pastor?
I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Look, I'd like for you to give me an application understanding of Isaiah 56, verses 9 through 12. Are these irresponsible leaders... can you make a parallel to the political leadership of today, being that they were in a kind of a theocracy at that time?
James, could you read that passage for us?
Sure. It's, all you beasts of the field, come to devour all you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough, and they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain. From his own territory come, one says. I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today, and much more abundant.
Interesting Bible verse and a good question. And actually, I think you've hit part of the answer. I don't want... yes, because it was a theocracy, it was talking about the secular leaders, the kings, and I don't think we can make an immediate parallel to our government that it falls immediately to them in this passage. And yet, I don't think we can just write it off saying, oh, there was a theocracy then, we're not now, so they get a free bill and they can do what they want. There is responsibility that they will be held accountable for, but it's on a different level because of the theocracy versus a non-theocracy today.
Okay. I'm just so frustrated over these particular debt ceiling and budget talks. As a Christian in culture, I'm trying to find ways to understand why we can't do something for the better good. If you can kind of maybe talk about a utilitarian approach or what approach we as Christians should have, I'd appreciate it. And I'll hang up.
Thank you, James. That's a difficult thing because on one hand, the government is overspending, and we haven't had a balanced budget, I believe, in years. And yet they keep spending and are seemingly acting irresponsible. And yet at the flip side, they are showing great compassion and helping people in need. But then the next question you have to say, are they truly acting in need, or are they enabling people to remain in need? And that's the difficulty rub that I face is, is this a long-term thing that we are helping with or short-term? Sometimes when people get unemployment checks, they can sit back and they don't have to worry about getting a job because the unemployment check keeps coming in. In that sense, we are enabling them to stay unemployed. Yet on the flip side, a person who's blind and receives a supplement income from the government because they can't work, that's because there's an 80% unemployment rate among people who are blind, and they can't get hired. And so their compassion is a good thing. It's a very, very dicey, difficult thing. And I'm going to sound like I'm not going to give an answer, because I'm not going to give an answer. That, I think, is a determination that as individuals we need to make. Now, personally, I am of the opinion, now this is Dave speaking again, not Pastor, but just Dave, I think we should rein in some of the government spending. There's going to be some hits. There's going to be some difficulties. Churches should be ready. Charities should be ready. Let's see what we can do. And then once the government has their house in order, quote unquote, then we can go back and look at these things. But things are, I think, out of whack so far. We need to do a major readjustment. And for a short time, that will be some difficulty for people. But that's where charities can help as well.
Yeah, do you see a bigger role for churches and charities in the future?
I do. If the government does do this of cutting back and living within its means. That's how it used to be done all the time. But the government has taken over many of these programs and activities that charities did, and so it's grown to be huge. That's where the entitlement area comes in. Can the government cut way back and let that go back to the nonprofits? That's a very interesting question. I think it can happen. The question is, will those who are empowered let that happen?
Are you a fan of music, Pastor?
I am.
Are blind people in general, do they like music?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Well, this is some heartening news, I think. A Christian album is outselling Beyonce and Lady Gaga on Australia's top 50 album chart. Sydney's Hillsong Live, their recent album God Is Able, debuted in the top three this week, just behind Adele's 21 at number one. And this is the 10th Christian album to reach the top 10 on the chart since 2002, according to The Telegraph. God Is Able is Hillsong's Live's 20th recording. The multiple gold and platinum band recorded the album live in front of thousands of worshipers at Sydney Entertainment Center in Australia. Must be some people looking for something out there.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting.
Not just the music, but perhaps some of the messages, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Music is a wonderful gift of God. And there's no doubt about it. Music can I don't want to say alter, but certainly help a person's mood.
Yes.
And that's the part of one of the reasons God gave the gift of music, is to help change and shift our mood, I think. And if it's used correctly, it's a wonderful gift of God.
I find myself listening to too much news and information.
Oh, news and information.
And so then when I flip over to the music, I'm usually in a better mood because of it.
Okay.
Yeah, too much can be too much. That's just the way it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, you said you're located in what area, Crestwood, or is it Shrewsbury?
It is Shrewsbury.
On Watson Road.
On Watson Road.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know there's a cemetery through there. Are you near that? Or
one building away from the cemetery.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. We have the claim to fame that we've had two train wrecks right by our building as well. One right next to it, it fell over, and one was the train truss collapsed, and the train fell, this is about 4 or 5 years ago, onto Watson Road, shut it down for a couple days. That's right in our area.
So do you keep regular office hours, and are we welcome to stop by and visit?
You can, yeah, we do. 8 until 3. And we do fudge it a little before and after, but certainly from 8 until 3 o'clock there's a staff member here, except for Friday afternoons. But we have very few walk-ins unless it's specifically by appointment or volunteers who come. But anybody is welcome, by all means.
And what are some of the volunteer opportunities, Pastor?
We have a volunteer right now who is sitting in, at the front desk who answers the phone. Many times a volunteer can either direct to the right person because we have multiple people. Sometimes they can answer questions right there. So we always are looking for volunteers to help on the phones. Very easy job. We have volunteers who come in to help collate and do our newsletters and other mailings. We have books that need to be taken apart, Braille, that is, and large print we do as well, as they come off the printer and then assembled, and then we have simple binder machines. That's certainly things that are done here as well.
Now, most of what you serve the public with resources about it would be dealing with Christian topics, Christian materials and such.
That is correct.
Are there other organizations that will serve their other needs, just popular books and things like that?
Yes, indeed. That you've hit exactly what our niche in the in our corner is the Christian and faith-based areas with the bedrock of our Lutheran understanding and teaching. But we do have a list of referrals where we can send people to for other things, whether it be a talking thermometer or measuring cups with markings on it so you can feel it. There are many other resources out there, and we do a lot of referrals to these other organizations for those practical daily living skills and things.
Lots of new technology, perhaps, to assist blind people with their lives?
Yes and no. Wow. Compared to 20 years ago, yes. Compared to 2 years ago, there are always things coming out. But it kind of depends on the area. We have found some ways with the era of Windows computers, sometimes that's a problem, as so many things, including a DVD, is all on-screen displayed, and then you click on it. That's hard. And it's starting to go over to other things, to dishwashers and wash machines. And so sometimes it's not good, but there are other things where, yes, talking thermometers, that wasn't heard of 20 years ago, but because of the new technology and little chips, that can be put even into a thermometer.
So if you'd like to volunteer for Lutheran Blind Mission here in St. Louis, visit blindmission.org. Click the involvement link, and you'll have opportunities there for financial support, donate your used car, church resources, searching the web with Google, proofreading books for Braille translation, recording cassette tapes, and even volunteering at the St. Louis facility. And prime to all of this would be prayers, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. We covet and depend upon those prayers very, very much so. Mm.
Pastor David Andrews, thank you for being with us today on KFUO Radio. Have a good summer.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you, and have a great summer yourself.
Thank you. Coming up next, we've got Moments of Assurance for you with Pastor Mark Hawkinson. You've been listening to Ask the Pastor on the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we thank you for listening. Listen Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.